Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have a trend, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff to idea at wretched.org. Text away 877-282-2337. I received an email that is similar to the email that you just read.
Are you getting in trouble?
Not that one.
Oh, okay. Oh,
you, you seem to gravitate toward those, however. I think a lot of people are struggling. We are in 9,000 times a day, the world screams, hey, we're going to provide every benefit and comfort for you. Just buy from us. Give us your attention. Give us your allegiance, and we will give you good things because life is supposed to be about you. After all, you rule. And the Bible says something different. The Bible says those days are a coming, but in the meantime, you are living in this epoch of history where we are still in a cursed system. We are still feeling the effects of the fall. One day, all of this garbage will be removed once and for all. What a glorious day. But in the meantime, even believers stub their toes. They get kicked in the shins. Their hip breaks when they slip on the ice. That's just life. And it's not that God doesn't want you to have things that make life easier. It's not that he just wants us tripping through life. Well, I guess if I get hit in the head, no big deal. Well, if you know you're going to get hit in the head, put a helmet on. You don't have to be just nilly-willy and just que-sarah-sarah about everything. Having said that, we understand that this life is toil. Labor, thorns and thistles, health issues, delivering children, raising children, all of the pressures that we feel, they don't go away when you become a Christian. But as a Christian, we should be able to cope better than the world. And we should look to more than a worldly nook of comfort. We go someplace else. And if you're going through that season now, and don't we all? It just seems that it rains and then there's some sunshine. Well, for a lot of people, there's just a lot of rain. So where do you find the sunshine in that? I would suggest to you, it is understanding that you are on a mission for God. You're not the Blues Brothers, but you are on a mission for the real God who has you on assignment. And he has you in this lot because he wants you there. Now, you might ask, well, what exactly is the point of that? Well, I don't know. That's up to each individual to try to sort and figure out. And one day it will be revealed to us in eternity. But until then, we can know this, that he has you where he wants you. I sometimes wonder, all right, this is amusing, so please discount this all you like. I wonder if it simply won't be for eternal stories that we'll be sitting around enjoying Jesus Christ, enjoying one another, enjoying wonderful food. And we're gonna talk just like we do whenever we sit down and break bread together. And I'm going to hear about you and your situation. And we're both going to go, man, Jesus is amazing, isn't he? Look what he did in that. That's what he was doing. Wow. And then you're going to hear my story and you're going to go, Jesus, for you? Whoa. So I don't know for sure why you're perhaps in a rainy season, but I can't help but I know that he's using it for your good and for his glory. I know that. And I think what helps me get my brain around it is recognizing that God, when the fires were happening in California, I know there was a lot of talk about, is this God's judgment? on Hollywood? Is it God's judgment on Los Angeles, Governor Newsom, what have you? I'm not privy to the mind of God at that level. But I do know this. There isn't a fire that happens and God just kind of goes, well, I'm going to let it go. Let's see what happens here. Or there's going to be a flood and hopefully too many Christians don't get their basements washed out. That's not how he works at all. Everything he does is individualized. Everything. It's custom made for you. Now, if you're not a believer, there's different things that God is doing. He's either now pouring out his wrath or he is encouraging you to repent lest a tower fall on you too. But if you are in Christ, he has you. Whatever it is that he's doing or permitting in your life, it is exactly what you need. It is precisely what our good physician ordered. You need that. Don't think that you're driving home from work and you just feel like I'm out here and I'm stuck in this traffic and 400, you know, it's 8 lanes, 10, well, they're widening the thing like crazy, like 12 lanes wide. And I'm just holding on to the wheel. Wrong. You're exactly where God wants you. Why do I live at this time? Why am I in this zip code? Why are my kids all like that? The answer is because God knows best. And it's where he wants you for your good, for his glory. So here's this particular email. We're both biblical Christians. I'm going to leave the name out. That love, all caps love our Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes these stretches of hard times, at least for me, my wife, she questions why this continually happens to her. I know I have lived a rough life. And a lot of what happens to me is self-induced. But she's an angel. She suffered her whole life and continues to get these obstacles thrown at her that she cannot avoid. I pray that the Lord forgives us for questioning him, but sometimes it's hard to comprehend why this happens to us. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you. And please note this. You are not getting punished, sir, for your past rascally sins. That's not what he is doing. He is treating you both the same. He is giving to you what you need. And you say, this is a hard pill to swallow. I know. But God knows better. And your situation, your life story, it will echo throughout eternity as we all get to see what God was doing all along and we will stand in awe of him. Don't think that you are being left hung out to dry, that life is nilly-willy, that you got caught in a tsunami or a forest fire. You didn't. God is doing everything that is best for his children. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
I was just thinking, so what you're saying is that we don't need to say, Jesus, take the wheel. He's already got
the wheel.
He's already got it.
No, he's got the wheel.
Right.
And we don't give him directions. Now, we can petition him. Most certainly he invites us to do just that. But this is why reading your Bible to see the goodness of God is just really, really important. It just Even in the Old Testament, he's nice there too. Consider the goodness of God. Consider the promises for his children, and then consider what he did to save you from the wrath that is to come. He sent his beloved son for you. Will he, who spared not his only beloved son, not also give you every good gift? I think you've got to remember that. So now you've got a cold again. I just got over the cold and I've got a cold again. You know why? Because God knows you need it cold. What? I don't like it cold. No, and I'm not saying that God is fond of runny noses either. But the point is, you need it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. That's how he operates with us. This God isn't just kind of, well, I'm going to do a big initiative here. I'm going to sign a piece of legislation, or I'm going to tell the angels, kind of move in this direction, y'all, for America or for Peru. No, that's not the way he is in your life. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you and he desires the best things for you, the best things. And if that road to those good things is rocky, bumpy, and you're constantly being run into, it will be worth it. It will be worth it because we understand the character and the nature of God. And that's why we read the Bible. That's why we go to preaching that exalts Jesus Christ. That is why I believe, again, preaching, it must show the goodness of God. Yes, it can show the severity of God, but let's make sure that we are always exalting the God who is good, the God who cares, the God who is long-suffering, the God who gives and gives and gives and waits and waits and does and does all good things for his children. And then as we go through life getting dinged around, we won't be downtrodden. Not saying that it necessarily makes the bankruptcy lighter or easier to deal with on a human level, but you're going to get it. You're going to understand it. And you're going to know that there was a reason for it. Your good, his glory. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe music might help.
Body is good. And all the time. God is good. All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
Yes, he is.
All the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine.
God is good.
God is good.
This is Wretched Radio. Maybe that is a thought you need to have banged into your noodle via music. Can be so helpful. If it's good theology, sing it. Sing it over and over again in your car. Let me encourage you, find some stuff that is good lyrically and musically and sing it, because God, he seems to just embed a lot of truth via the vehicle of music. And if you're going through a hard season, I would encourage you, start singing now. It's better to start singing before you go through the season of sorrow. But if you're in one, try to sing and remember these truths, that God is good all the time. Not sometimes, not just with other people. All the time. We need these truths fixed in our brains, because this dispensation that we are currently in, it's hard. And people get sick and finances run out and people die that we love, especially when it's a child. I think of Tim Challies, talk about his season of sorrow. That, by the way, would be a book that would help you if you're going through the season of mourning a loss of somebody. An outstanding book from one of our fellows, Tim Challies, if you're not familiar with him. Seasons of Sorrow, it will help you, because it's a thoughtful treatment of sovereignty. Have you noticed that those of us who are sovereigntists sometimes have a tendency to maybe not consider the human element of somebody's struggle, because we just go, boom, right to sovereignty. Man, my dog that I had since I was a child just got run over by a bus. Well, you know, God's sovereign. Okay, all right. That is a truth that needs to be shared at the appropriate time. But we need to feel. We need to feel through this with one another, to bear one another's burdens, to weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn. Then we can share some good theology, like God is good all the time. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is an email from Anonymous. Interesting question and conversation. Todd, my husband and I have been married for over 30 years.
Well done.
I was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and unless the Lord intervenes, I will be going home soon, long before my husband does. Mm. We have two adult kids and one still in high school. Does my husband still have a responsibility to care for my aging parents after my death? His parents are both gone. I do have a brother, but he is not a believer and will not see the biblical mandate to honor and care for our parents.
It certainly would seem duplicitous of me to race to the answer to that question and look past the pain that is being experienced in an entire family, and the dozens and dozens of people connected to that family. This is precisely why we need to know that God is good. Yeah. Some of us are going to be diagnosed with cancer earlier than we think. And that really is the way it is, isn't it? Isn't it funny? You'll hear about somebody will say, hey, I just lost a relative. And I do this too. I think it. And sometimes I've asked it. How old are they? How old? Like, okay, they made it to the national average of 72. So that's not so bad. Death is just, And we sometimes just, we tend to think that it's less bad if somebody's, it's really bad when somebody loses a child. Perhaps I get, but it just, death is bad. And it, to lose a parent, if you can be 60, 70 years old, I've seen this. I felt this myself. You lose a parent. I don't care how old you are. That is a deep, devastating loss. And to the person who would go, I don't get what your problem is. You're 70. You didn't think your parents were going to live forever, did you? Oh, man. Death is, it stinks, doesn't it? Just stinks. And we need to be prepared for it. Because God's timetable actually is the best. We think 72, God says, nope, when I take you home, that's the best. And we need to know that, and we need to have that fixed solidly in our hearts. Having said that, madam, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I hate running past that to answer the question, because it feels like I'm contradicting everything that we've just been talking about here. Does your husband have a responsibility to your parents? I would actually rephrase that question. Does your husband, who it appears is going to outlive you, have a responsibility to his parents? And you're going, well, his parents. Yeah, no, I get, I'm talking about my parents. And I'm saying, no, I'm talking about his parents. Because your parents are his parents. His parents are your parents. That's what happens when we get married. We get brought into this one flesh union. So when you said, I do, you both said, your parents are my parents. And so I'm trying to think of a particular Bible verse that would talk about the expiration date for honoring one's parents. I could understand why you might think, because, well, I'm not alive anymore. That, yes, on the one hand, that of course does end the marriage covenant, but I don't think that that ends the responsibility. Would I bang my fist on a table and make him? I don't know that I could go that far, because I don't have a Bible verse that explicitly says that, but I think the implication is, yeah, I think he does. I think he does. And I think that you can talk about that with him. And if he's a godly man, if he doesn't grasp that immediately, I think that he will when he understands just what exactly he committed to when he said, I do. Now, having said that, might I add one more thought for you, madam? I understand the desire to get everything as orderly as possible before departing. That's why we have wills. That's why we write down what our wishes are, what we want done with our stuff, whether we want to be hooked up to a machine or not. We try to do all that. And then you think about your inheritance for the kids. Is the insurance paid up? And what about, I need to make sure that particular account needs to be. That's all good. And that is right. And I think we should do that. I really do. And by the way, this isn't like my issue, but if you are older, you can define whatever that is, and you don't have a will, you should get one, because it'll save your family, who's going to be mourning for you, a lot more pain. If you just spell everything out, just write it down. It's not the most, but you can do it online for cheap these days. Just get it down for the sake of the family. We should do those things. That's I think, what thoughtful, godly people do. Having said that, might I encourage you, as you are walking in this season, to increasingly fix your mind on God is good. God is good. Do you know who loves your parents more than you? God. Do you know who loves your parents more than your husband? God. Do you know who loves your kids more than you or your husband? God. If he chooses to take you home, what we would say is prematurely, based on statistical timetables, you can know that that is what is best for your parents. And it's what is best for your husband. And it'll be what is best for your kids. I am not suggesting that that somehow diminishes the mourning at all, at all. But you can prepare to go home to see Jesus knowing your God is good and he's got him. He's got him. And you're going to be so joyful and so busy and so deliriously happy in heaven. They'll be with you in a twinkling of an eye. And in the meantime, your faith will be made sight and you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt your God is good. And your parents, your husband, and your kids are in very good hands. And I'm sorry. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.